Today on Piano Jazz, sitting in for Marion McParland is one of her favorite pianists, two-time Grammy nominee Bill Charlap.
It's a privilege to be here with trumpeter, arranger, composer Randy Brecker, musician of great versatility, depth, and you've covered so much music over the years. It's incredible, so welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for that very nice introduction.
Well, it's true. I've been listening to you play for as long as I can remember, and you're certainly one of my musical heroes.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to ask you about your early years and how you got started in music, and particularly, you grew up in Philly, didn't you?
I did. And Philly was a veritable melting pot of different styles of music, so I was very lucky meeting a lot of musicians at a very young age and being heavily influenced by my father, who was a piano player and who knew your father, as a matter of fact. I remember hearing about Moose, and I thought it was such a cool name as a kid because he talked about him all the time. But my dad was a wonderful pianist, songwriter, and singer, actually, and would have probably pursued music had he not also had an interest in law and having a family, et cetera, all the things that go with that. But music was his first love, and he was a big influence on myself and my brother.
Well, that's great to hear about that. I had known that there was some connection, that our parents had known each other, but I didn't know exactly what that was, so that's nice to hear. Of course, my dad was Moose Charlap, and he was a songwriter also.
Great songwriter.
Thank you. And my mom is Sandy Stewart, a great singer, and they're both from Philly, too. So that Philadelphia connection.
Small world.
Nice.
Philly is an incredible place as far as having produced so many musicians in so many different genres. It's just incredible. So I grew up listening to jazz on the radio, jazz downstairs in the living room, R&B with actually, when I think about it, American Bandstand was born in Philadelphia, and we used to come home and watch that. Dick Clark used to have a lot of R&B bands that we would have normally seen had he not been a jazz fan. There was a lot of closet jazz fans on that show. Frankie Avalon was a trumpet player, a pretty good trumpet player, actually, that went to high school with Lou Tabak, and his real name was Frankie Avalona. So there was a lot going on in Philly back then. Of course, this where Coltrane kind of spent his formative years, Dizzy Gillespie, the Heath Brothers, a local guy named Jimmy Oliver, a saxophonist by the name of Clarence C. Sharp, with whom I had the pleasure of playing with when I was a teenager. So and just to be around these guys and having two clubs to go to, Peps and Showboat, my father would take me and they'd let me. They got to know me so I could sneak in there whenever I want. It was a great, great childhood.
That sounds like a fantastic way to grow up in music. It's great talking to you, but I'd love to hear you play. And I know you've brought a stellar ensemble with you. Maybe you can introduce these musicians.
Well, this is our regular working group, right? On tenor saxophone and soprano, Ada Rovati. And on piano, Jill McCarron, the great Jill McCarron. And on bass, Mr. Steve LaSpina. And the other Steve on drums, Mr. Steve Johns. And we have had a lot of fun playing together the last few years, and this should be great.
Well, what are you going to play?
Well, the first tune I chose was kind of a tune that came about with the thought, what if Charles Mingus and Thelonious Monk had written a tune together? And I recorded this several years ago on an album called In the Idiom. And this is called There's a Mingus Among Us.
Okay. It's a great title. Thank you. I was wondering, what were some of your first professional gigs?
Well, I have to go way back still to my time in Philadelphia, and I played with a lot of R&B bands, a couple kind of wedding bands, but my recollection of actually meeting some guys down there was under the aegis of Mr. James DePriest, who then was known as Jimmy DePriest, and he was a jazz drummer and also an organizer, so he put together various youth bands with people like myself and Lou Tobacken, and who I've stayed friends with all these years. But I moved to New York in 1966 and was lucky enough to kind of hook up pretty quickly. People had heard about my playing, I guess, through various competitions. I went to Indiana University, and we won a Notre Dame Jazz Festival in about 1965. Clark Terry was one of the judges, and when I moved to New York, he was kind enough to call me and have me join his big band. And then that just led to other things. There was so much music around then, so I started playing with Duke Pearson's big band, and eventually the Thad and Mel band, and a bunch of other larger groups around town.
By Thad and Mel, of course, I know you mean Thad Jones and Mel Lewis.
That's right. And eventually I joined Blood, Sweat, and Tears for a year. It's kind of make a long story short. They needed a trumpet player, and it was an interesting experience, and it brought me into that world for a year. But I left right before they sold 11 million copies, to join Horace Silver, which was my first big jazz gig, and stayed with Horace for a year and a half with Billy Cobham and Benny Maupin and John B. Williams.
So what that a was great a, band!
That was a really excellent band.
Yeah, amazing. What was it about playing with Horace Silver? Anything specific that really stands out for you as something you really gleaned from that experience?
Well, I gleaned just about everything. How to be a strong band leader, but give the sidemen some leeway. I mean, he didn't give as much as some others, but he did give. He knew when to stop with telling you how to play, and. He had all those great tunes, and he was also deeply embedded in the idea of playing a lot of different styles, drawing from a lot of different contexts to write, compose, and also play. So we played a lot of straight-ahead stuff. We did some funkier stuff. We did tunes. You know, his body of work was like a narrative to his life. He'd visit somewhere and write a tune. So he'd do a tune like, for instance, Tokyo Blues or Cape Breton Blues. Each had a kind of a local flavor of where he had visited. So his palette was pretty wide, even though we harmonically maybe didn't stretch that much, but we played a lot of different styles of music. And he had a lot of work, and we played together a lot, so it was a real formative period of my life.
Maybe you'll play something else for us.
Okay, let's... This next tune was actually written in the beautiful city of Shanghai 3 or 4 years ago, and it's a lot of fun to play. And I recorded it on a record called 34th and Lex a couple years ago, and this is called Shanghai.
This is also your composition?
This one is also my composition. Okay. This is a little more blues influence, but it kind of doesn't ever quite get to harmonically where you think it's going to go. It kind of throws you off constantly.
Can't wait to hear it. After playing with Horace Silver, didn't you spend a little time in Art Blakey's band?
I did indeed for about a year. It was a little before I had started to really write my own formulate my own music, so to speak. I wish I had been a little further along in my development when I look back at that period, but Art was at the top of his game, and it was a lot of fun because I'd, you know, grown up with all those records, and to play Night in Tunisia and Moaning and all those tunes.
Yeah, I'm sure, and with Art's unbelievable energy and fire and intensity, I'm sure there was nothing like that. Incredible rhythm sections and players. Speaking of great rhythm sections, you've got a great one here with Steve Laspina at the bass.
The best.
And Joel McCarron at the piano and Steve Johns at the drums. Maybe you'll play something else for us.
Yeah, I think this time we chose a tune that was written by my wife, Ada Rovati, who hails from Mortara, Italy, and we were playing at a jazz festival in Cork, Ireland a few years back, and she wrote this tune, which has kind of an Irish vaunts about it. We needed a title for this tune, so drummer Adam Nussbaum thought of O Corco Mio.
The Randy Brecker Quintet with Ada Rovati on tenor saxophone.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.